ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ Read three verses. We chant this one together, and these three verses end a little section. Agnidra is flattering a nice lady. Over the top.
Yo sa paya karasaroja hatak patango. Dikshu Brahman Pramata Eja Yatekshini Me. Muktam Nate Smarasi Vakra Jatavarotam. Kashto Niloharati Lampata Eja Nivim.
Kashto Niloharati Lampata Eja Nivim.
Yo sao tvaya karasaroja hatak tatango.
Yo sao tvaya karasaroja hatak tatango.
Dikshu brahman brahmata eja yatekshini me.
Dikshu brahman brahmata eja yatekshini me.
Muktam nate smarasi vakra jatavarotam.
Muktam nate smarasi vakra jatavarotam.
Kashto nilo harati lampata esha nivim.
Kashto nilo harati lampata esha nivim.
Yaha, which? Asau, that. Tvaya, by you. Karasaroja, with the lotus palm. Ataha, struck. Patangaha, the ball. Dikshu, in all directions. Brahman, moving. Brahmataha, restless. Ejayate, disturbs. Akshini, eyes. Me, of me. Muktam, scattered. Na, not. Te, your. Smarasi, are you mindful of? Vakrad, vakra, curling. Jata, of hair. Varutam, bunches. Kashtaha, giving trouble. Anilaha, wind. Harati, takes away. Lampataha, like a man attached to a woman. Eshaha, this. Nivim, lower garment. Here we go. My mind is already restless, and by playing with the ball, moving it all about with your lotus palm, you are agitating my eyes. Your curling black hair is now scattered, but are you not attentive? But you are not attentive to arranging it. Are you not going to arrange it? Like a man attached to women, the most cunning wind is trying to take off your lower garment. Are you not mindful of it? Purport. The girl, Purva Chitti, was playing with the ball in her hand, and the ball seemed like nothing but another lotus flower captured by her lotus-like palm. Because of her movements, her hair was loose, and the belt holding her cloth was giving way, as if the cunning wind were trying to make her naked. Yet she paid no attention to arranging her hair or fixing her dress. As Agnidra tried to see the girl's naked beauty, his eyes were very agitated by her movements. Text 15. Translation. Oh, best among those performing austerities. Where did you get this wonderful beauty that dismantles the austerities performed by others? Where have you learned this art? What austerity have you undergone to achieve this beauty, my dear friend? I desire that you join me to perform austerity and penance. For it may be that the Creator of the universe, Lord Brahma, being pleased with me, has sent you to become my wife. That's a marriage proposal. Purport. Agnidra appreciated the wonderful beauty of Purvachati. Indeed, he was surprised to see such exceptional beauty, which must have been the result of past austerities and penances. He therefore asked the girl whether she had achieved such beauty just to break the penances and austerities of others. He thought that Lord Brahma, the creator of the universe, might have been pleased with him and might therefore have sent her to become his wife. He requested Purvachati become his wife so that together they could perform austerities and penances in family life. In other words, a suitable wife helped her husband perform penances and austerities in household life if both of them are on the same elevated platform of spiritual understanding. Without spiritual understanding, husband and wife cannot be equally situated. Lord Brahma, the creator of the universe, is interested in good progeny. Therefore, unless he is pleased, one cannot get a suitable wife. In fact, Lord Brahma is worshipped in marriage ceremonies in India. Even today, wedding invitations are still issued with a picture of Lord Brahma on the face of the card. Or Ganesh, at least. Okay, text 16. Lord Brahma, who is worshipped by the Brahmanas, has very mercifully given you to me, and that is why I have met you. I do not want to give up your company, for my mind and eyes are fixed upon you. Woo, woo, woo. And cannot be drawn away. Oh, woman with beautiful raised breasts, I am your follower. You may take me wherever you like, and your friends may also follow me. Purport. Now, Agnidra frankly admits his weakness. He was attracted to Purvachati, and therefore, before she could say, "But I have no business with you," he expressed his desire to be united with her. He was so attracted that he was ready to go anywhere, hell or heaven, in her company. When one is absorbed in lust and the influence of sex, one surrenders to the feet of a woman without reservations. Srila Madhvacharya remarks in this connection that when one engages in joking and talking like a crazy person, one may say anything and everything, but his words will be meaningless. Okay, so that ends the section. So we'll continue tomorrow with the next episode of soap opera or something. This is fifth canto, Bhagavatam. In Kapila Dev's teachings to his mother, of course, the mother is a pure devotee of the Lord. She's so qualified that the personality of Godhead became her son, spotlessly pure. Nonetheless, she's thinking of herself as an attached person, attached to material family life, and wants instruction from her qualified personality and Godhead son how to remove that undue attachment. And
chapters later, Kahuna Dev says, of all the different forms of attachment, that they're abundant, practically unlimited varieties of attachment. There's nothing more bewildering and deluding than male-female attraction. Of course, these days it's other varieties too, but attraction for, on the bodily platform, indulgence in sex, nothing more powerfully bewildering than that one. Makes the world go round. If you wanted to be a designer of something that would self-perpetuate, there's a very practical principle, male and female combination to continue the species. And you don't even have to send them to school. They have this natural affinity by design. It's built in to the system. So here, this is Purana. It's a history of a great king that had such affinity. And so because of the affinity, the object to match his affinity was provided. And it's described not only Agnidra was overly attached, he was also very expert in flattering. I mean, just works that way. And so from his side, he was infatuated, and from her side, doesn't describe, you know, from the female side, hearing these words of flattery, but from a female who hears words of flattery and forgetfulness of Krishna is operating, she likes it. Doesn't matter. She likes it. One of the difficulties for growing up in our modern world is, you know, he knows how to capture her attention. She knows how to capture his attention, and works. So when she hears some flattering words, or even just gets, you know, a few text messages, he doesn't have to say the kinds of things that Agnidra said to Purvachiti. Says, pay attention. And something happens from her side. And without going into it too much, does it sufficiently? The point I'm making here is it's two-way. That the perspective that we're hearing is from the male side. It works both ways. And so the caution goes both ways. The onus is on the part of both, or he and she should be Krishna conscious, and the absence of Krishna consciousness means absorption in immaterial conception, absorption in things that are averse to bhakti. One of my favorite verses of late, it's the Prachetas are speaking to King Nimi. And the Prachetas are advising. King Nimi isn't like, you know, Devahuti. Devahuti doesn't have this problem. King Nimi is qualified as Devahuti, but nonetheless they're instructing how to awaken bhakti. And one of the things, one of the elements essential for awakening bhakti is attachment, or cultivating attachment for Krishna. But obstruction in cultivating attachment for Krishna is becoming absorbed in things temporary. It obstructs attachment to Krishna. And then one's consciousness becomes bewildered. We're in Maya. We're influenced by, under the whammy of Maya. So the Sanskrit goes like this. Bhayam dutiya abhinivesha taksya ishad apetasya viparyayo asmriti. There's smriti and there's asmriti. Remembrance and forgetfulness. One forgets Krishna, ishad. In fact, ishad apetasya. We have to choose. Do we want Krishna or do we want Maya? And if you choose the wrong one, you choose Maya, then there's aversion to Krishna. Apetasya means one who has turned away. Prabhupada's simple example. You look at the sun. What do you see? You see light. Alternatively, if you turn your back to the sun, what do you see? You see shadow. And there's not a third thing. Well, there's degrees of shadow and degrees of light. But light and darkness. So, ishad apetasya, having turned away. Ishad apetasya, viparyayo asmriti. That's the default position. You're in forgetfulness. And viparyaya means misidentification. Misidentification with what? Well, the body, or the subtle body. Something other than who we are. Misidentification, because there's proper identification. Viparyaya asmriti. We forget who we are, forget Krishna, and dutiya means duality, or that which is seen as separate from Krishna. There's nothing separate from Krishna. He is the source of everything. But if things are seen as separate from Krishna, and dutiya abhiniveshita, abhiniveshita means absorption in seeing things separate. That's what's going on here. Things in this world that are vibhutis. If you're Krishna conscious, you see those things that are vibhutis in relation to their source. And the source is the reservoir of all whatever that opulence is, vibhuti. He's the source of all vibhutis. He's the most beautiful. He's the most intelligent. He's the most powerful. He's the most everything. So whatever one may be attracted to, you know, wealth. Who has all wealth? Nobody. Except Bhagavan. All beauty. But that beautifulness of Krishna is forgotten when one becomes abhinivesita, then becomes absorbed in things that are seen as separate from Krishna. It's a very fundamental problem. I and mine. Starts with I and it goes boom boom. Domino. I and mine. Aham and mama. I and mine. So mine is something that's out there that looks like it's up for grabs. Some wealth, some knowledge, some ability, some something. Ravindra Swarup Prabhu uses this phrase, I've heard it for years. Everyone has their God project. trying to make a kingdom of God without God, in God's kingdom. That's our God project. And, you know, different scales of it, different ambition, different flavors and varieties. Ask a young person, what do you want to be when you grow up? What do they want to be when they grow up? Didn't ask the question yet. I want to be a fireman. I want to be an airplane pilot. Huh?
Doctor.
I was thinking about this morning. The number of people that I know, it was a quick thought. A lot of people I know had the intention they were going to become doctors, and hardly one became a doctor. And those that became a doctor were really sorry they did. So if anybody asked me, you know, should I become a doctor, I'd advise them, don't. Here's why. Anyway, some little project of controlling some piece of the material energy. So it can be the form of a member of the opposite sex that says the right things or does the right things. Then one becomes attracted to that object. It's the fulfillment of the desire for dutiya abhiniveshita, absorption in things that are seen as separate. Seeing things separate means maya. It's one of the, I mentioned this yesterday, it's one of the four essential verses of the Bhagavatam. Seeing that which has artha, or value, apart from its source, Krishna, know that to be my illusory energy, maya. Very simple. So, being in maya, or being in material consciousness, means seeing something as existing separate and having value. So then we want to make it ours, or be the enjoyer of it at least. And then our consciousness becomes covered. And we forget Krishna, and we forget what real happiness is, and we, you know, go through the whole program of pursuing happiness apart from Krishna. That's material consciousness. That's the misuse of free will event that keeps repeating itself like a broken record. Now, younger generation people don't know what a broken record it sounds like. The music used to be on those LPs, and they had that little glitch in the plastic, and it would just keep playing the thing over, and playing the thing over, and playing the thing over, and playing the thing over. Broken record. Playing the thing over. And we do that. Broken record. It's donkey mentality. Just keep carrying the load, and pursuing the grass that's in front of your nose. And each step that you take, it's still that many steps in front of your nose. And you just keep going for it. Keep going for it. Plodding forward like a donkey. And it didn't work. Happiness didn't work. So we just do it again. And we just do it again. And just keep doing it again. And doing it again. And doing it again. Thinking, well, I have to do it smarter. Or I need a little more resources or something. I have to take a couple more courses in college. And then I can... something. The position that the saving grace is service to Krishna. That's the same message as what Prahlad was saying yesterday evening. The cure, the panacea, the default option is whatever it is that one does, propensity wise, do it for Krishna. So we're hearing what happens when you don't do it for Krishna. I mean, Madhvacharya, I was thinking when reading this, poor Madhvacharya has to hear this soap opera. But his remark is, when someone speaks like this, It's meaningless.
When one engages in joking and talking like a crazy person, when we say anything and everything but his words will be meaningless. So, to her, it's like, wow. And to him, it's, wow. So it's not meaningless. And it's meaningless. Meaningless in terms of life's goal. You're going to hear that, you know, they went on for, you know, tens of thousands of years in meaninglessness. So whether it's one lifetime or multiple lifetimes, at some point, a little light needs to go on and says, as to some extent we have all done, to some little light went on saying, there's got to be something more than all this. That's the Adau Shraddha principle. And then comes Krishna sends the devotees. And devotees have to be qualified, small thing, be qualified, and give the message, and ideally also give the example, prachar and achar, and that's the cure. The cure is exactly as Kapila Dev says to Devahuti, is sadhusanga. Or as in the one of the answers to yesterday evening's questions, arya sangena. Association with persons that are Aryans. They know the progressive values of life and they're living them. We need that. Good association. We need to be good association and we need to receive good association so that the transformation from the material paradigm to the spiritual paradigm can take place. So we're getting this, like, you know, a clear picture, the anatomy of the material paradigm, forgetfulness of Krishna paradigm, absorption in things that are seen as separate from Krishna, and trying to be the enjoyer of them. Again, it's 1-2. Seeing things separate, trying to be the enjoyer of them. And the other is, you're seeing them in relation to Krishna, you offer them to Krishna. Boom, boom. Exactly as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. When you understand that he's the source of everything and then everything comes from him, you engage in his devotional service. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matak sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam. Bhajante mam. Therefore, sambandh again, so much volume and volumes of understanding of how everything comes from Krishna. It's not that you can't go back to Godhead if you don't know all those detailed cause and effect events in the process of creation. You can go back to Godhead if you don't know all those. But you must know that everything comes from Krishna. Because otherwise, you'll go to the other position. You'll try to be the enjoyer of something, thinking that it's not part of Krishna, you're Maya, or under the influence of the illusory potency. That's the problem, and the remedy is through association of those that do have the understanding, engage things in Krishna's service. In a theistic way, in a lawful and theistic way. And the Bhagavatam is prompting awakening of that consciousness. There's the principles that are being expressed, and there's examples of those principles that are being expressed. This is the example of delusion being expressed. He's a great personality. He understands. You know, he knows the philosophy. Like we know the philosophy. But he's not living it because he's dutiya abhinivesita. He's absorbed in seeing something separate. Now, there's multiple comments. I'll just say two other things and finish.
note that Prabhupada goes back and forth seamlessly between, you know, calling a spade, calling Agnidra fool, and then on the other hand, going the other direction and saying, when there's a spiritual conception, a spiritual understanding, then here's how it should be. Where husband and wife are together and they undergo austerities and penances together for purpose of purification to achieve a spiritual goal. That's very nice. Then he even says they're on the same platform. They're equally situated. There's roles, and that role is, you know, defined by scripture, but equally situated. That is, although they're playing the role, they're on the spiritual platform. So from transcendental perspective or Krishna's perspective, they're equally situated. Whether one is this or that, equally situated because they're on the spiritual platform. Like the discussion yesterday, from Krishna's perspective, he loves the cows. He doesn't look at the cows and say, oh, you're not gopis, I don't care for you very much. Where's the gopis? Mother Jasoda, you're nice, but I want the gopis. It's that, so it's not like that. He's already full. He doesn't need anything. But the loving reciprocation is of unlimited variety, and his happiness is in that unlimited variety of loving reciprocation. That's Krishna. All variety. Equally situated. And that's the ideal. And the not ideal is infatuation. Him infatuated by her, her infatuated by him, forgetfulness of Krishna, and down the merry path of illusion. And the higher purpose of life is lost. Again, what Vacharya is saying, meaningless. It's, you know, it's strong language, but, you know, strong language is suited to some circumstances. Bhagavatam is strong. It's taking us to the transcendental position. We just have to get on board. Hear its message and move with its message. Have the transformation take place by its message. For the punchline of your question, you want to know why it's not done in the proper way? That's your question?
Yeah.
It's a matter of consciousness. When it's not just about performing his duty, because I'm king and I have to produce a son who can become the next king and offer sacrifice to the forefathers and all of that. That's not all that's going on. That's why it's not in the right way. The consciousness is not right. He's forgotten what his duty is. He's go, go, ga, ga. That's what's not done in the right way. Okay? Yeah. I don't know what you're referring to. Something I read in the first point?
No, you were
something I said?
And
thinking specifically about somebody who has a desire to serve a mission of our founder Acharya. And not that he's thinking to do it unlawfully, but there are things that might not be what a 501c3 organization should do. May need another instrument. 501b. That's what I was thinking when I said that. Lawfully. There's purposes of ISKCON. And it's a not-for-profit organization. It has certain purposes. So fulfilling one of those purposes of ISKCON must match the laws of the land. Lawfully, that's what I meant. So there may be another instrument that fulfills the purposes of ISKCON, and it's just done through a different instrument, according to the laws of the land. There's not an intention to be a lawbreaker, but we have to know, you know, the field that we're working in so that we're within the parameters of the law. Otherwise we could jeopardize our 501c3 status. That's the problem. We don't want to do that. This one. Yes. Sound like a lawyer building a case. What's the charge here?
So one is trying to come back from Vedavrata's position, falling position, because of the domino effect happens.
How to get back to the right position, your question? Association of devotees. Sadhu Sangha.
The same domino effect can happen the other way.
Sure. Oh, absolutely. Offended devotee, go right ahead to see what happens. I mean, don't do it, but it happens. You know, the good that has been established through offense will be removed. Is the question going to be, you know, which out of the menu is the highest one? Is that the question?
Yeah, because we
see. Oh, don't worry about it. Work on them all. I mean, they're all, you know, there's six. What's the word? Enemies, paths to hell. Kam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, matsarga. Five paths, six paths to hell. know, so any one of them could be so problematic, we need to be attentive to it. My advice is don't go down that analytical path and says, well, if this one is, and then over here it says that one, and over there it says that one, so which is it? Are they contradictory? Don't go down that path.
Along the same line, so you know, we hear about jivada, the tongue,
yeah,
the strongest of all senses. Similarly, you know, we hear the sex attraction. So now,
and something that will help with the sex attraction is control the tongue, but doesn't guarantee you're going to control sex attraction if you control the tongue. You got it. Your question?
My idea, my question was, you talked about achar and prachar.
I did.
And then, I know that, this is more, I know that we have some dosha, some defects.
Yes.
And we are working on it, and then that again happens.
Yes.
And that put us in a situation that we feel very remorseful.
Good. Good. Okay.
So what is your advice, how we should work on that?
I gave, that was Adi Shakti's question last night. And so just listen to the answer, it's the same answer. That's scriptural. The answer is scriptural. I have firm confidence in the answer because it's directing from Kapila Dev to Devahuti with Prabhupada's commentary and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. And I didn't center that, but you ask her for it when I remember to center it. You call the discussion. Essentially, hear from scripture. So you already have some idea. But hearing from scripture is like taking a bath when you know that you're not clean. It helps you become cleansed. And it makes the qualities become more clear, and the weaknesses or doshas or faults become more clear. And now I know what my faults are, and the clarity is restored by the process of hearing. And then I take assistance from multiple resources. It's in the verse. It's very, very clear. How, you know, so the rerun of doing our faults again and again and again, we all know. So now and we know what the goal is also. So now how do we get from where we are to where we want to go? How do we bridge the gap? It's a standard question. As you can say, it's an Anarjanavritti question. But within that verse, it's very clear. Starts with the hearing, and then, you know, Arya Sangena and real small one, just, you know, get rid of false ego. I'll send it first. Send me a note, and I'll remember to send it to you, because I've got too many things to do. Easy to forget.
Anything over here? Yes. That's all. Of course, not my question. So, King Santanu marries Ganga and then marries Satya. So, this conscious, I'm just relating this with that. His mood or his conscience is totally different from what we hear now. From this.
Yes. Not totally different. He had the, you know, Guru Ganga effect too. For both of them. When you saw Ganga, it was, whoa, whoa. And when you saw Satyavati, same. But he was, you know, wasn't completely bonkers like this fellow. He was more elevated. But so some similarity, some difference. Does that answer your question? Okay, thank you very much.